Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I must say, I was not expecting the Tampa Bay Rays to shut out the New York Yankees. Ryan Yarbrough was on the mound. He came in, I guess, after the first inning. But this Yankee team, Steve, I didn't realize they have been on a tailspin like no other since really the All-Star break. And the problem is they can't score any runs. You know, Stanton is hurt. Who else are they missing? Carpenter, I think.
Carpenter's out, and LeMahieu is out right now.
And, yeah, which are, you know, three prominent bats. But look what the Rays are missing. The Rays have five starters that are out of their lineup from, like, opening day. Yeah,
Franco, Ramirez, Kiermaier, Margot, Zanino, all out.
Yeah, yeah. And they're not exactly a run-producing machine themselves, but they shut out the Yankees 4-0 in what continues to be misery for New York. There were some good moments in this game. And we were just talking about this before the podcast started. Is Anthony Rizzo and his obvious attempt not to avoid getting hit by a baseball, but actually trying to get hit by a baseball, and then the umpire calls it on him, of course, and then all hilarity ensues after that.
Yeah, how often do you see that call? DJ Almost Rayburn never. Immediately said, no, you're not hit. You're staying here. You leaned into it. Mm-hmm. You never see that. And to do that in New York?
No. Oh. Yeah, that took some guts.
I mean, I can only imagine Aaron Boone came out saying, hey, we're savages here. How can you call that?
That's right. My guy would have not taken it for the team. Yeah, no, it was Rizzo, first of all, I give him all the credit in the world because he will stand on top of the plate and dare a pitcher to throw it inside. And much of the time, he'll turn on one. And he's got himself, you know, I don't know, is this eight seasons or something like that of 20 homers or more. And with the short porch and, you know, Yankee Stadium, he's got himself lifting the ball and hitting a lot of home runs and things like that. And he is not afraid. I'll say this. He's not afraid of the baseball. He gets plunked legitimately plenty of times. But in this instance, that pitch was almost over the plate. It was going to be very close to hitting the corner, and he leans into it instead of away from it. So I know that Yarbrough has some movement on his pitches, but I don't think you'd be moving towards where the ball is actually trying to hit the mitt. So it was a good call. It was a good game. Some clutch inning late in that game because it was 1-0 for the longest time until the ninth inning, and the Rays kind of broke it open. That's a big win. You know, I don't know if they can sweep the Yankees or not, but you came up with a figure that shocked me. If they sweep the Yankees, there's a chance that they're like eight games out of first place.
They'd be eight games out on August 17th.
That's insane. They were 22 at one point. I mean, I don't even know what it was. It was, you know, the Yankees were on pace to win like 120 games.
The Yankees are 8-16 since the All-Star break. They've been shut out four times in their last nine games.
That's just wild to me. And the Yankee fan let them have it, too. And some players more than others, but I think Hicks was a guy that they were booing the most.
Well, he botched the triple that David Peralta hit. Mm-hmm. He misplayed that in center field. That led to the first run, which it was a 1-0 game going to the ninth inning.
Yeah.
And then he hit into another double play with the bases loaded. That's his fourth of the season. He leads baseball in that category.
Jeez.
Yeah, now that Joey Gallo's gone, he's public enemy number one there.
Yeah, they were after Joey for a while. That's a huge win. I mean, you know, they're trying to separate themselves a little bit from the Baltimore Orioles. The American League East is just jammed up, really. I saw where I believe Baltimore beat Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, they were leading.
So the Rays and the Toronto are tied for one of the wild card spots. As we tape this, the Mariners are tied 2-2 with the Angels. If they win that, they'll be a half game ahead of those two teams. If they lose, they're a half game back. Those are your three wild card teams now.
Right.
But Baltimore's a game and a half back. Minnesota and Chicago's two games back. And Cleveland's got the same record as Seattle does currently. So essentially, you have seven teams within 2.5 games of each other fighting for four playoff spots.
For four spots,
when you talk about the Central Division Championship, which is the Guardians, the Twins, and the White Sox, all within two games. So seven teams for four spots, all within two games of each other, or 2.5.
Yeah, it's wild, man. That's why we like the wild card, is it keeps so many teams relevant and in it. But I can't recall in recent memory, the Yankees' start was so, astounding. I mean, they were so far out in front, and then probably no one will catch them, even though, I guess if they swept them, they would be within eight or so. But it hasn't been really a race in the AL East. However, all these other teams are so bunched up. It's crazy. Just, and the biggest difference, obviously, is Baltimore. They've come so far so fast. And, Rays won that series by one game, 10-9, I think. They've got a bunch of games now with the New York Yankees. And so, in a way, the schedule has sort of benefited the Rays in that they're catching the Yankees at exactly the right time. And they are down, and this is when you kick them.
Now, I mentioned the eight games in that. And still, granted, that would be if they win the next two.
Sure.
If the Yankees go 500 the rest of the way, which right now they're playing below that level, but if they can go 500 the rest of the way, they'll still have 95 wins.
Yeah.
Which means the Rays at this point have to go, 34 and 14? Am I adding that up right in my head real quick? I mean, that's an incredible
pace.
That's
48 games. Is that what's left?
Yeah, I believe it's 48 games left. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they. I mean, that's...
So better than 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to take a miraculous comeback, or we'll use your word miraculous.
Well, yes, I'll say it. for the Rays to win the American League East, it would be miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the Lightning coming back
now,
against Colorado.
You could think back to, what was it, 2011, when the Rays were 9 games out of the division lead entering September, or September 2nd, 3rd, and they caught Boston. Now, there's only one team there. You got a lot of teams in front of you at this point, or with you at this point. But so we'll see. I mean, Yankees are struggling, and a lot of their flaws are showing right now. Not having Stanton and LeMahieu in that lineup has completely changed that lineup, and they look lost.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing, is that it tells you that, once you get into these playoffs, especially with that many American League East teams, I'll say this. There was a time when the Rays would go to Yankee Stadium and never win. Sometimes it didn't matter what kind of team they had. But there's nobody that the Rays can't play, right? I mean, there's no one, and vice versa. I'm not suggesting we saw the Red Sox last year take a Rays team that had won 100 games and beat them. But if you are the Yankees, if you are one of those AL East teams at some point and have to play Tampa Bay, it's not a welcome thing. It's like, these guys are used to playing there, and they get kind of pumped up for it. And I think the Rays like going on the road to places like Fenway and Yankee Stadium. Not that you wouldn't rather have it at the Trop, but still, that's the whole beauty of getting in. You find a way to get in, and if they, get Wander Franco back and Harold Ramirez and Manuel Margot, I mean, they're going to suddenly offensively be way better, and the pitching has carried this team from the first day. Their bullpen has been terrific, and when you can go out there and get what they got from Yarbrough, which was has been somewhat unexpected. The great thing about he's the perfect Yankee killer, because this team just wears out hard throwers, and the changeup. They showed a stat where particularly Aaron Judge, who did not have a very good night at the plate, is so susceptible to the changeup. And you throw a guy that's kind of a soft contact guy like Yarbrough, if he's not hitting the middle of the plate, he has success against a team like that. So it was pretty interesting to see how that matchup went. And Kevin Cash played it perfectly, and they held on to a 1-0 lead for the longest time. Yankees blew a good opportunity. They had the bases loaded and went out. And Hicks grounds into a double play, a 1-2-3 double play, which you don't always see.
Look, the Rays have faced the Yankees 11 times this season. They've given up 33 runs.
That's it.
Three runs a game. And if you remember, one of those series, they gave up like eight runs.
They gave up eight in one game.
And like five, well, they gave up seven the first game they played them. But there was another series where they, I think they gave up eight runs in New York, but five were unearned. So, I mean, it's not even like they're giving up three runs a game earned in this year, and you know, this matchup this season.
Crazy.
I mean, you know, you hold the Yankees lineup in as hot as they've been all year, and you've played them throughout the season now. You hold them to three runs a game, that's really good.
Yeah. Well, that's how good their pitching has been. I mean, one through the bullpen, whoever they bring in from down there seems to be able to do the job, and certainly they did it, you know, on Monday night. It was spectacular.
They got Nestor Cortez, who's been really good against the Rays this year, tonight. Jeffrey Springs will oppose him. You just need to kind of do what you did today.
Yeah.
Eke out a run or two, get a lead early.
Yeah.
You don't expect to get a lot, but then you got to outpitch them.
Outpitch them.
If you win tonight, then you win the series, and then you can go for the sweep on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly could happen. I mean, and when the bats are, when you're squeezing the bats the way the Yankees are right now, and they don't seem to have anybody going very good, good pitching can certainly shut down, you know, a team for a series. And they pitch well really all year against them. So,
well, and after this, you get Kansas City for four. They're 21 games below 500.
Right.
Then you get the Angels for four. They're 13 games below 500. Then you go to Boston, who's a couple games below 500. And then at Miami, who is 14 games below 500. Your next 2 weeks after this, you got a chance to get a lot of wins.
Fatten up, yeah.
If you can win this series, I mean, you know, you'd love to sweep it. Just win the series in New York. Take one of these next two. And then you go to work on these the next 2 weeks when you got the Royals, the Angels, the Red Sox, and the Marlins. And eight of those 13 games are at home. Go get a bunch of wins the next 2 weeks. And then let's make it interesting in September.
Yeah, and you're getting some players back probably in the next, I'd say, week or 10 days.
It looks like by Saturday you may have Margot, Ramirez, and Franco back.
That's incredible.
Maybe one or two of them is a day or two later, but you could have all three back by this weekend.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, obviously you welcome that talent, right? You welcome the bats back in the lineup and how it lengthens your lineup and those sort of things. But the energy that a guy like Wander Franco brings you, not just at the plate, but just in the clubhouse, on the field, his defense, his base running, all of that is just such an injection at a time when the trade deadline's over. You know, you're not going to get three better players on the market than the three you've missed.
Yep.
So
Neil Solans brought up a great point in the postgame show on Monday night. And you know, when you get Franco and Ramirez and Margot back, your bench becomes better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was a game last week that Brandon Lau was up, lefty on lefty. Bases, I think, were loaded, struck out. That was a perfect opportunity to put Harold Ramirez in there. But you didn't. Your bench was so, you know, when you're missing five batters out of your regular lineup, your bench is a lot weaker.
Yeah.
Which makes it harder for Kevin Cash to make the moves he wants to make.
Sure it does, yeah.
You know, I mean, we know that they'll pinch it for anybody at any time if the matchup calls for it. And you know, for the last several months, it's been harder and harder for the Rays to do that offensively. And I think that's part of the reason they've struggled some is that they just don't have the bench to make the moves they like to make, to exploit the matchups throughout the game.
Right.
Not just with your starting, you know, nine batters, but your whole bench. And getting those guys back lengthens that bench, too, not just your lineup, but the bench. And it's going to make that lineup more dangerous, and hopefully you start seeing the Rays score more runs because of it.
Yeah, if they ever do that, if they ever start scoring runs again in bunches with their pitching, it's going to carry them a long way. You just don't know. You get in the postseason, you're going to have to score some runs. That's been their problem in the past. But as well as they're throwing, as balanced as they are in the bullpen, you know, you saw what Rasmussen did the other day. I mean, they've got it going on the mound. They just have to hang in there and get some guys back, and we'll see what they can do. I mean, the Yankees, you know, still one of the best or the best record in baseball, and, you know, right now it's the worm has turned. I mean, this was the thing that everybody talked about early in the season and why the Yankees got off to such a great start, because As Neil Solons told us, it's what everybody feared, a year in which they don't get injured. A year where Stanton and Judge and LeMahieu and all these guys are playing every day. And they did that for the longest time. And now the injuries have finally struck. And you see what it's done to this Yankee team. So, you know, good for them. Good for the Rays to try to get it going. And, you know, they need to win series, get a little momentum. And you just don't know, especially when you head into the later months. I mean, we're more than halfway through August at this point, almost to September. Guess a little over halfway in August, and before you know it, man, here comes the October magic. So, good win for the Rays. We're going to talk about the Bucks here and a big acquisition that they made. But first, May Electric Solar. You need to call these folks. I know your electric bill is going through the roof. Mine is too. They're a family-owned and operated business. They've been installing solar electric systems for a dozen years, and in this field, there are all these fly-by-night companies. I had one knock on the door unsolicited the other day. And May Electric has been committed to you for the long term. They guarantee their workmanship. They got a 30-year labor and service warranty. Plus, with every installation, you get $750 worth of surge protection for all your appliances. That right there is the May difference. So if you visit the Hudson showroom, May Electric displays all of its products, and they conduct on-site testing so you can see exactly what they'll be installing. Plus, they don't use subcontractors. You know exactly who is doing the job at all times. So start saving today. Call the solar energy experts, May Electric Solar, at 727-819-2862. You can schedule a free estimate. You can lower your electric bill all year long and preserve your quality of life, preserve your appliances as well. That's 727-819-2862. All right, so I was at the Bucks. They resumed their practicing, of course, on Monday. It was a full practice. It was 2 hours. It was hot, as you can imagine. Training camp portion, the fan portion of it, is over anyway, so that's all the attendance we're going to have, which is kind of nice. They're starting to take down, you know, some of the grandstands and things like that. Still obviously no Tom Brady. They're preparing to leave later today. They're going to practice a little bit this morning, and they're going to leave later today for Tennessee. I'm headed up to Tennessee and Nashville as well. Practices there against the Titans on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday they'll have kind of an installation walkthrough of their own without the Titans, and then, of course, their second preseason game is on Saturday. Same sort of procedure that they had in the first game. Starters will not play. I think you'll see a lot more of Kyle Trask again in this game. And certainly there's position battles all over the place. Some offensive linemen will have to play. Still going to look at the, you know, the guard position, and Nick Leverett and Aaron Stinney and those guys will be battling for that. You need to look at Robert Hainsey a little bit more. But those receivers are starting to really shine. And guys like Jareth Stearns, who we had a chance to talk to after practice, really impressive guy. It's hard to believe you can lead the nation in every category, and there's only been a few players that have done that of late, Michael Crabtree being one, I believe, where you have the most catches, the most yards, the most touchdowns. He did it at Western Kentucky and still not go drafted because he's all of about 5'9". But, man, he's out there making plays in practice all over the field with Kyle Trask. They're starting to get a little bit of rhythm together. And it's going to be really competitive in that wide receiver room, you know, going forward. And I'll be honest with you, like the guy that's sort of in jeopardy right now, that's a name guy, is Scotty Miller. I mean, Scotty Miller's going to have a tough time making this team. I also think that he's one of the few receivers, because he's got good film and he's hurt other teams, that you could probably trade and maybe get something for him, especially with a team that, you know, is down at the receiver position where they get some injuries or whatnot. I'll tell you this right now. I think Green Bay would have an interest. I'm not sure you want to trade him there. But you would think that, you know, after what he did to them in the AFC Championship game and them being down a little bit on receivers, they might have an interest. But we'll see how all of that plays out. The big story really on Monday is on the injury front. And this is unfortunate in a sense because, you know, Cam Gill is a guy that's been on this team. He played in the Super Bowl. Trivia question, he had a sack in the Super Bowl. Young guy that's really, you know, improved each year and playing outside linebacker, getting his chance really to be part of that rotation because they didn't re-sign Jason Pierre-Paul, and you know, you've got obviously Shaq Barrett and now Joe Tryon and Soyinka are your starters at outside linebacker, but then Anthony Nelson, who I wrote about in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com, he's a legit pass rusher now. You know, his first year, he was hurt a lot. That's kind of what I remember about his rookie season, is that he was probably down more than he was on the active roster. And then the second year when they won the Super Bowl, he was predominantly a special teams player. I mean, because, you know, that year, JPP, Shaq were humming, you know, so there was a lot of competition for playing time, and he spent most of his time playing special teams. And then last year, halfway through the season, JPP's shoulder got so bad with a torn rotator cuff that he's still out of football probably as a result. And Nelson went in and really just took off. You know, it kind of clicked for him. He's always been a sort of a powerful guy. He's surprising. When you look at him, he looks like a basketball player more than he does almost a football player, but he has incredible strength. And of course he's long, so he understands the advantage he has with his arms. It's a disadvantage though, if you're that tall. He's 6'7". And so he's really got to work on pad level and, you know, the low man wins and all of that. But playing behind Shaq Barrett, he's learned a lot. I mean, Shaq is a technician, and Nelson's really worked on his feet, and that's what enabled him to have really 5 sacks in the last 8 games, 3 sacks in the last 3 games for the Bucs last season. And then in the preseason game against Miami, him and Cam Gill both had a sack and a tackle for a loss. They looked great. Unfortunately, Cam Gill suffered a Lisfranc injury, which is a foot injury, the same foot injury, in fact, that Levante David suffered with it at the end of last season. Remember, he said he was about 60% in the playoffs, and that certainly showed, especially against the Rams in that last game. And it's taken him all this time since the end of the season really to get sort of back to where he needs to be. And now you have Cam Gill getting that similar injury, and Todd Bowles said on Monday that Cam Gill is going to miss some time. So that screws up their rotation, except they made a big acquisition. The Bucs signed Carl Nassib. Remember him? He was here in 2018, 2019. I think they claimed him off waivers from the Cleveland Browns. Carl Nassib, of late of the Las Vegas Raiders, is going to come over now and rejoin the Bucs. He had his best years here as an outside pass rusher. He had six and a half sacks in the 2 seasons, so 12 and a half sacks in the 2 seasons that he was here. Last year, you know, he really never, even though he got a free agent contract and a pretty good one from the Raiders, he really didn't post any good numbers in terms of a pass rusher. He did play a ton of special teams for them, though, over 100 snaps on special teams, and I know that he'll make an instant impact on that. Of course, Carl, after he left the Bucs, made a lot of headlines and a lot of news by becoming the first openly gay NFL football player. He came out, I want to say, in 2020, I think it was, and, you know, has really been, you know, hailed for his courage and all of that. Of course, he still has teammates that remember him from, you know, just a couple years ago on this football team. Very well-liked guy. He's going to fit perfectly for what they need, you know, right now in that rotation, and, you know, we'll hope that, you know, Cam Gill gets back sooner than later, but it's pretty convenient to have a guy like that still on the street that can come in here and make an impact. And you know, I think it was a good pickup for them. They're doing some smart things, and you know, finding some veteran players that they know fit their system. And they're fortunate that some of these guys are still out there. So Carl Nassib, his first day will be today. I'm sure that I won't be out there, but Joey Knight and the guys will talk to him and. Check out his story in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. It's kind of neat. He's coming back home.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There was some really horrible news in the NFL, and it involves the brother of Aqib Talib. Yaqub Talib was involved in an ugly incident Saturday night. There was a shooting in the Dallas area in the city of Lancaster, I think. And there was a youth football game. And there became sort of a confrontation, I think, between coaches. And somehow Yaqub Talib got involved in this. This was actually videotaped. It's fairly shocking video footage if you see it. But at some point during the altercation, Yaqub pulls out a gun and ends up shooting a man dead who was another coach of the other team. And he was sort of finally turned himself in after a couple days, I guess. And yes, his brother Aqib was there. He was right there when this incident occurred. Of course, Aqib Talib, the former first-round pick by the Bucks, played for a lot of teams, the Patriots, the Denver Broncos, I believe. Really, his numbers are not even borderline. They're Hall of Fame-like numbers that Aqib Talib had. It's a horrible, horrible incident, and I'm not sure where this is going. I don't know that self-defense will be the take that maybe he has, but his lawyers were intimating that. I will just say this, is that that's a troubled family. when Aqib Talib came to Tampa Bay, and I'm not equating what his brother did to what Aqib has ever done, but just in this sense is that, they came from a family where the mother is a convicted felon who had stabbed somebody when they were earlier in their life. The incidents that Aqib had, punching a cab driver when he came to Tampa Bay, he had some documented incidents of violence, nearly got cut by this franchise, eventually got traded. I went down there to the Dallas area to do a story on what was then a shooting many, many years ago when he was still with the Bucks. And that was, they were fortunate that no one was killed or injured in that situation. And, again, residential area, altercation ensues, mom comes wheeling up, he's chasing some guy, through the neighborhood firing shots. And, he was charged, or I think him and his mom might have both been charged at that time. I'm not sure how it was adjudicated. Neither one of them got convicted of anything. But just in general, guns have been a part of their lives and violence. And it's a terrible, ugly, horrible thing to have somebody lose their life over a youth football game to begin with. Certainly strikes close. And Aqib was there. Unfortunately, he was not injured or was not part of the shooting. But his brother is, and now he's in custody. He's turned himself in. So that was pretty disturbing. In football, college football, big news, the USF Bulls. I thought it was interesting the way they did this, Steve. They put it on social media that they had chosen their quarterback one.
Isn't that how everything's done these days?
Is it? I don't know.
No, but it sure seems like it at times.
I know, but it just seemed odd to me. Like, I suppose you could have had a press conference and maybe let Jeff Scott explain his decision-making process on that one?
That's coming today.
Okay.
Yeah, Jeff Scott and I believe Jerry Bohannon, who's named the starter, will be available to the media today for USF, I believe.
Yeah, well, one guy that may not be available to the media today, although Jerry Bohannon will, is the guy who didn't win the quarterback job, and that's Timmy McClain, who reportedly has now, within minutes, it seems, of that announcement on the internet, entered the transfer portal. So happy trails to Timmy McClain.
Well, that's what happens now with players is they, if they don't get the job, they're gone. It's hard to build depth. I mean, Joey Knight put it out there on Twitter. If something happens to Jerry Bohannon, USF's like starting from square one again.
Yeah.
That depth there is not there. Now, Jerry Bohannon transferred in from Baylor. Helped him win the Big 12 last year. He's got 2 years of eligibility left.
Yeah.
So, you know, at that point, Timmy's like, I'm not going to start till my senior year again, you know, assuming Jerry does well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of the thinking behind it. So,
yeah, not like the old days. I mean, I get it at the quarterback position in particular, and we see this now all the time. Oklahoma lost both their quarterbacks, you know, after the season last year. And, you know, these kids are going to find a place to start. And it's kind of late in the year, but, you know, Timmy McClain will obviously have some place to go. And if not start, maybe compete. I tend to think that as much as they invested in McClain last year, and he did some good things, and he certainly came on, and there's no reason to think that he won't be a pretty productive college quarterback with all the experience that he gained. But having said that, I think when you make the deal and a guy like Jerry Bohannon comes to your program in the transfer portal, it's not guaranteed, but there is sort of a wink nod that, you know, he's going to be your starter. And, you know, Jeff Scott can tell both guys, hey, this is a competition and best guy wins. And that's really football. That all sounds right, I suppose, because until you have him in the building, how much do you know him and all that? But in reality, the writing was sort of on the wall. I mean, you know, this guy's not coming here to sit the bench. He'd have to have a pretty good idea, and you would have to have a fairly, you know, revealing conversation with him to get him to transfer here. If he thought that Timmy McClain was going to be the starting quarterback, he wouldn't be here, and nor would you necessarily be interested in him. But they were in each other, and so it's not a surprise that Bohannon is the starter, and now McClain will go try to find a place to play. But you're right, it's not like the old days when Howard Schnellenberger would sit there with the pipe in his mouth on the Howard Schnellenberger show and go, we got this guy, Jim Kelly, going to be our starter, and behind him is Bernard Kosar, and then behind him we got Vinny Testaverde. I mean, can you believe that? Like, they had those three dudes on the same team at Miami lined up like airplanes at LaGuardia. I mean, it was just, you know, it was incredible. And you'll never see that day again because of the rule changes, and I don't have a problem with it. I tend to think, you know, it's a little like AAU basketball, unfortunately, is that, you know, when things don't go well with one team, you move to the next one, right? And until you become, you know, the man on any given team. So there's something lost in that. There's a little bit of, you know, I don't know what you would call it. It's not, you know, you become a little bit of a prima donna, I guess. But the quarterback position especially is that important. And I don't begrudge guys that don't want to, you know, do what Kyle Trask did. I mean, this is the thing that's so remarkable. And of course, Trask didn't have necessarily, well, I guess at the end he might have had the transfer portal, but basically, you know, there are players that were willing to take, you know, the job of backup and wait their turn, whether it was 1 year, 2 years, or what have you. And it took an injury, as it did with Trask, with Felipe Franks getting hurt, who then went on to Arkansas and became a quarterback there. Now I think he's playing tight end maybe for the Atlanta Falcons if he's still involved in the NFL. I know he's playing as a quarterback too, but, you know, and so what would have happened to a guy like Trask, who's now, you know, his reputation and sort of his very being, his fiber is, hey, I might not be the starter when I first get there. I'm going to work my butt off. I'm going to learn everything. I'm going to get my chance, and I will get it. I'm gonna knock it. I'm gonna rip it out of the park, and that's sort of what he's doing, using the same kind of approach in the NFL. And that's the thing, when you go to the NFL, even we're starting to see a little bit of a transfer portal there, because when Baker Mayfield doesn't make it in Cleveland, you know, and the Carolina Panthers aren't happy with Sam Darnold, who they got from the Jets, here comes Baker Mayfield. That's called free agency, and that's sort of what they have now in college football, is free agency. But you're losing some of that, grit, you know, and I guess apprenticeship, if you will, of guys, you know, kind of having to do it the hard way and stick it out. And there's something to be said for that, but I really don't begrudge these players to try to find them. But you only got 5 years to play four. And it, believe me, as a former college athlete 100 years ago, it goes by really fast. I mean, those 4 years, you can't afford to waste any of them, and especially when you're playing a game like football. So we'll see. I mean, it's a big year, obviously, for the Bulls. Big year for you, for Coach Scott, and We'll see what they have to say today about the whole thing. But, yeah, it's going to be new quarterback at USF.
We're going to talk to Matt Baker later this week, and mm-hmm. the AP poll just came out. Give you 10 guesses at who's number one.
Oh, Nelly, I got to believe it's the Alabama Crimson Tide. And right. Boy, you got Nick Saban.
Wow, lucky guess. All right, number two. You'll never guess this one.
Well, I got a guy at Ohio State by the name of C.J. Stroud, and him and the Alabama Crimson Tide are probably 1 and 2.
All right. There's no way you guess number three.
How about the national champion Georgia Bulldogs? And, oh, boy, I got to believe that they're right there with Alabama and Ohio State.
Man, you are lucky, man. Those three guesses. I don't know how you got that.
I'm a little shaky at four, though. I am. Now, I think the was it the writers' poll? That, no, this is the writers' poll. The coaches' poll came out, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think they had Clemson number four.
That is correct.
In the coaches' poll, yep. That is not the case, though, with the writers' poll.
No, it is. Clemson is four.
Oh, it is four. It yep. is the same. Okay,
yeah,
so
they have
chalk.
The same top five. Notre Dame okay. is fifth in both.
Okay,
it's
all right.
Six where you start to see a difference.
So chalk for five, yes. And now six, it starts to separate.
Yes, in the AP poll, they have Texas A&M sixth.
Okay.
Compared
Jimbo
to seventh
Fisher,
in the coaches.
Big recruiting yep. class. I mm-hmm. get it, yeah.
Yep. Utah is seventh in the AP. They were eighth in the coaches. And then Michigan is eighth in the AP. They were sixth in the coaches. So six, seven, and eight, little bunch changes there.
Huh, okay.
Miami's still the only...
Only Florida team?
The only Florida team to make the poll. They're in at 16. They were 17 in the coaches' poll. So.
Mm-hmm.
Florida did receive votes. They're around 37, I think. UCF was like 32. Florida State did not receive a vote in the AP poll.
I know it's possible for Alabama, who eventually is probably going to have to play Georgia in national champion, and perhaps in the national champion, but in the SEC title game, right? Mm-hmm. So likely or possible that one of those SEC teams will lose a game, maybe to each other, right? Who knows? Do you think Ohio State can go undefeated in the Big Ten?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
because I suppose Michigan would be their only other really team that could knock them out, right?
Well, I mean, Michigan State and Penn State are in their division.
Yeah.
So, you're going to face all them. Of course, the second week of the season, that's upset alert there. Arkansas State's at Columbus.
Well, here you go. Here we go. Now, that day is going to be very confusing for me because, of mm-hmm. course, I am, a Red Wolf. At the time, I was an Indian, but that's another story. I am an Arkansas State Red Wolf, so I have to kind of wear my colors and root for my home team. But the quarterback on the other team is named C.J. Stroud. It's kind of hard to go against Stroud, but
yeah.
I'm definitely not an Ohio State fan because, as you well know, if you've seen me on Zoom anywhere, I've got a Wisconsin helmet
mm-hmm.
sitting in my media room here, and my wife went to Wisconsin, and she does not like Ohio State at all. I'll say this about the Big Ten. They are loyal. Like, you can't like any other team in the Big Ten if you went to a Big Ten school. It's just not possible. I think it's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Not that, look, I wasn't rooting for Louisiana Tech back in the day either, but I'm just saying it is dye in the wool. Like, there is some hate that
yes.
goes on between these schools.
The worst is when you have to root for the team you really hate because you need to beat someone that you need to lose.
That it helps you, yeah.
But you mentioned Michigan being the toughest team for Ohio State. They open with Notre Dame, who's ranked higher.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's a top five matchup, 5-2.
Yeah.
They have Wisconsin early on September 24th. They have Michigan State. Penn State's just outside the poll.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to lose, you're going to lose that first one, right? I mean, lose early mm-hmm. and then have a chance to.
But all their tough games, all of them are at home except for Michigan State. They're on the road. So they get Wisconsin at home, Notre Dame at home, Michigan at home, Penn State's on the road too. I'm sorry.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So now have they settled on a quarterback yet? Is McCaffrey going to be their guy?
Michigan? No, I haven't settled yet.
No.
I think you're going to see both. You're going to see both
yeah,
McNamara
I think so
and McCaffrey.
Too.
McNamara yeah. is the better probably leader at this point and he's more
but
steady.
They play
he's more steady in that,
bit.
But McCarthy's got the higher ceiling. So
yeah, you got to, and if you don't play him, he's going to get in that transfer portal too.
Yeah, well,
so
I think you're going to see both of them this year.
Yeah. Well, if their defense is anything like it was a year ago, I don't know who they lost. Obviously, they lost the number two draft pick in the country.
Aiden Hutchinson, David Ajabo, Dax Hill. I mean, they lost, as Matt Baker would put it, dudes.
Dudes.
They also lost both their coordinators.
Right. That's huge. Yeah.
Josh Gattis is now in Miami as the offensive coordinator, and Mike McDonald went back to the Ravens to become their defensive coordinator.
And McDonald was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so him going to the Ravens was a loss. Goes to another Harbaugh. I mean, how does that conversation go? Hey,
well, he went from John to Jim, and now back.
I know,
to John.
And I went back. Yeah, so I guess you can't really complain. Like, you got the use of him for a couple of years, but
he got to cut his chops as a defensive coordinator. He was just a linebackers coach at the Ravens.
Gotcha.
Got to go to Michigan to become a defensive coordinator. When then they needed one at the Ravens, they brought him up.
Yeah,
so you can't.
Yeah,
you know, now Michigan's strength is their offense. I mean, they lost Hassan Haskins, but they got both quarterbacks back.
This year
back.
It's their offense. Last year it was their defense.
Yeah,
they may
have the best offensive line in football. Some prognosticators say it's the best offensive line in football.
Them in Wisconsin are usually pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin and Notre Dame.
To be honest, that's been Michigan's Achilles heel for much of the last 10 years when they've struggled.
Really?
Their offensive line wasn't as good as it should be.
Huh.
But last year,
Don't slam my boy from Eastlake, Mason Cole, because he was there for four years.
No, I'm not saying they didn't have guys. I'm saying, but as a unit, they weren't as good as they should have been or have traditionally been at Michigan. No, they've had guys.
Right. Send a lot of guys to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Them, Wisconsin, Notre Dame. I've always said this, if I ran a football team and I'm looking for an offensive lineman, I'm at one of those three schools I'm going to take.
Iowa's going to have some.
Iowa's definitely going to have a ton. And you're okay with Tristan Wirfs, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Very okay with him.
Right. those schools put out the big uglies. Oh, boy. And they run the football, which you don't see a whole lot of anymore. Not that Ohio State will have to run it.
Some of those schools still use fullbacks, like Wisconsin and Iowa.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm okay with Iowa because they've run sort of this pro-style offense. Watching Wisconsin play, which I have to do every week, is just nails on a chalkboard horrible because they make 1950 look like a progressive offense sometimes. And they've had quarterbacks, some of which they've transferred out to other schools and done really, really well. But at Wisconsin, and they've had receivers too. It's weird. And then, of course, you know, a good running back or two has come through there, as you know.
A little bit.
Yeah, but they certainly get lots of attempts, but it is the most vanilla offense known to man. Run on first down, run on second down, make your quarterback convert on third and three, and then do that like 10 times during a drive. It's mind-numbing, and as good as they are on defense, if they just had just a little bit of scoring, they could be really good. But that's Badger talk for another time. I really don't want to get into that. But.
Hey, real quick, before we wrap this up, too, I want to give a happy birthday wish to Tommy Leverone, who's a frequent tweeter of ours and listener, and met him a few times, too. So it's his birthday today. So happy birthday, Tommy.
That's great. Yeah. Well, it's going to be a big day. Bucks are headed up to Tennessee for their workouts on Wednesday and Thursday. They have a practice this morning. I'm headed up to Tennessee as well. We'll talk to Matt Baker later this week about his poll, his top 25, see how it matches up with the AP poll and the coaches, et cetera. Get you ready for some college football, talk a little USF football as well. So lots on the podcast throughout the week. Just a reminder, if you want to help that electric bill that you can no longer afford, call May Electric Solar. They've been in business for 12 years. They really can save you some money, and they have a 30-year labor service warranty, $750 worth of surge protection. That's the May way. Start saving money. Call May Electric Solar, 727-819-2862. Schedule a free estimate. Lower your electric bill, 727-819-2862. Thanks for listening. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tempe Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.